pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible. Good morning, fellow Americans, and welcome to the third episode of the season as we continue our discussions on things we can do to build communities and get prepared for whatever situation lies ahead. Get your free membership by signing up for our weekly emails to get notifications about new episodes, and I'll send you a copy of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. I'm your host, Chris Williams. My brother, Patrick Williams, is co-host, and we are the Constitution Commandos.
I'm on kind of another part of security that is obviously not for everybody, but the
still
Second
on personal
Amendment,
dwelling.
Yeah. And but this is so important for being able to communicate a plan of action with the people in your home, and that this is, in my opinion, the easiest way to defend and preserve life is the Second Amendment. And if anybody wants to tell you the Second Amendment is for hunting, stop listening to their opinions. The Second Amendment is to defend yourself and your property, point blank. Doesn't matter who you're defending yourself against. That is, the Second Amendment is to defend yourself and your property.
Let me say something here, because I have heard this in questioning of Marjorie Taylor Greene. The Second Amendment was not there for the people to overthrow the government. That was not the purpose. However, in case the government gets too big, it is there for that purpose, but that was not the reason for it. The reason for it was, if this country had to go to war against another country, the government would call on its citizens, would come armed to the teeth. That's what it's there for. Just so we're clear on that Second Amendment thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, but when we talk about firearms in a defense situation, if you go buy a firearm, having the firearm is absolutely useless if you don't go spend time at the range. You have got to get to the range. You have got to train with that weapon. Mm-hmm. That weapon is useless if you do not know how to properly holster it, to clear it, to put it on safe, to take it out of the holster, to charge it, the proper storage and use.
Yep.
The firearm safety, I don't care what anybody says, the first and most important thing that you do with a firearm, any responsible gun owner, is firearm safety.
And I don't know how they do it much in the military, except for what we got in the Navy. And believe me, we push buttons. We don't pull triggers unless you're in the SEALs or these. But as far as firearm safety, it was keep your weapon pointed downrange. That's pretty much it. Now, growing up, firearm safety meant we were shown a firearm, an empty one, and we were taught how to hold it, where to and not to point it, how to load it, and that was before we ever saw the ammunition. And so firearm safety is probably more critical than the use of the firearm. So yeah, I want to throw that in there, because firearm safety is absolutely critical.
Yeah, because there are no bad guns.
No.
There are poor operators. If you do not understand firearm safety and you have an accidental discharge, or you don't understand trigger discipline and you shoot somebody in your family or in a house, that is not the gun's problem. That is your problem. So
that's not to say that some very experienced gun owners haven't had things happen. And they do happen. We're people. We make mistakes. But the more you know firearm safety, the fewer mistakes you can plan on having.
That firearm should be an extension of your body. You should not have to think a fraction of a second how to properly deploy and use that firearm. It should be muscle memory.
Yep.
So if you get a firearm, and I will say everybody will look at this differently, my personal opinion, a pistol is not the greatest thing for personal defense in a home. To me, A pistol is one of the hardest weapons to utilize, deploy, and to hit targets. Now, if you choose to have a pistol for your personal defense, now sure, if you're in your vehicle, you're going out roaming town, a pistol mandatory. But if you choose, and I understand not everybody's just rolling in cash, especially in today's economic time. If a pistol is the first thing that you can afford, then
By
when
all
you
means.
buy your pistol, then you need to find a firearms instructor. I could give two shits about concealed carry. I could give two shits about any of that crap until you
Learn
know how
necessity.
to use the weapon.
That's
And
correct.
if you find somebody to teach you how to use a pistol and they do not teach you firearm safety, you find you another instructor.
And I will say this, just to add in, and maybe it's because I'm a
Carry
little
on.
bit partial. The firearms instructors that I have met or have known to be firearms instructors, I would probably trust them before just anybody that claims to be a firearms instructor. But I would find somebody that's prior service, preferably somebody special teams. And there's a reason why I recommend that. Not just because I'm biased, because I'm a veteran, but there's a reason I recommend them to be firearms instructors. Those guys go full blown, they go high speed, live fire, and they manage to not kill each other. And they're
Well,
very
police that
trained.
do that as well.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a lot
But
of police that have extreme training, but
that's what I'm saying. Those
when
people.
regardless, when it and I well, a lot of your
And I will a
ranges
lot of.
employ those people, but you have very capable instructors out there that never did a day in the military or were not on the force. But the thing that I'm saying is number one thing, the instructor should not be your husband or your wife or somebody that you are friends with. You are
Somebody.
going to get talked to. And you need to understand the possible consequences of
Right.
not learning and appreciating that weapon. You need somebody that is sole focused on not who you are, but what
How
you
are
are
you handling?
doing. If you have a weapon, they need to be able to teach you firearm safety. Learn firearm safety, learn how to deploy your weapon and to acquire your target.
That's the
That's
most
first
important
and
thing.
foremost.
Yeah, that's most
Now,
important. And check your
once
feelings at the
you,
door. Don't even worry about taking your feelings with you because you don't need those.
no.
You don't need them.
But, and the reason we came to the Second Amendment talking about site security is once you get the weapon, and I would leave it up to each individual because everybody's situation is different.
That's correct.
Everybody's. So, talk to somebody prior to purchasing a weapon. Tell them what your immediate needs are for that weapon. Explain to them the environment that you are immediately trying to defend, being your home. Is it a brick structure? Is it a wood structure? Is it stucco? Does it everything about it? Tell them that you are trying to have a self-defense weapon for your property. Get a lot of different
Input.
input on the type of weapon.
Right.
Okay. Now, once you have determined which weapon that you're going to purchase and that you have started taking some type of firearm safety class and an instructor is teaching you proper use of the weapon, then you need to start understanding. Ask questions. There is no better way to find out about a firearm. And I'm military trained and I still buzz people's ears because the technology changes all the time. It's not static, it is rapidly changing. I'm not ashamed to say it. I don't know everything and I'm going to ask. But if you use a pistol, you're probably going to want to utilize hollow points. And this goes into the communicating part. If you have a firearm and you have a family in your home and you have a weapon and you have to engage a perpetrator, 911 is already on the phone. It's already on speaker.
It's
And
already on document.
if you have children They need to know if somebody comes in this house,
What they
lay
need to do.
flat on the floor.
That's right.
That way, if you engage a perpetrator and you shoot them and it goes through the wall, then it's going to go over the head, likely, of your children.
Right.
If your spouse is there, your spouse needs to know what to do. Anytime a firearm is deployed, you always, I don't care if it's combat, I don't care if it's personal defense, I don't give a shit if you're at a range. You always identify your target, period, before
First.
you squeeze the trigger, before you put your finger on the trigger.
Yeah, don't be
You
a gangbanger and just
identify.
start waving your gun around with your finger on the trigger. That's dangerous for everybody.
Absolutely, because you have to think of the safety of your family member, preservation of life. That is the mission set. That
Right.
is what is on your mind. It is not badass or Billy the Kid, or it is to protect life.
Yeah, and quite
You
frankly,
need.
on a personal level, if it's going to be inside my dwelling, I'm just going for a knife. I'm just saying. It's just, that's me.
And sometimes the situation won't allow for that if there's multiple
That's true.
assailants.
That's true.
But
That's true.
you need to understand the type of bullets or ammunition that you're using. Some bullets will go clean through the house and exit the front or the back, and it might go in the neighbor's house.
You don't want that.
Learn your ammunition. Get the appropriate ammunition for the firearm that you chose to best defend your home.
Including the
So,
grain load. That's important.
yeah, but the yes,
Not a,
the
yeah,
grain.
not as important probably as whether or not you use and but I
Absolutely, it
mean it
is.
is important because it determines how much velocity is sent behind that round.
Absolutely. But you can get a hypersonic load that will mushroom
Right.
and it will still pass through a few walls,
It
but
just does more and more damage the
it
further it goes.
depends on the bullet. The
Right.
bullet is just as important as the gun. You go to the range, you're going to use probably, let's just say, AR-50, you're going to use an AR platform, a 223. Heck, when I go to the range, I'm going to use the cheapest bullets I can, a 55 grain. I usually use American Eagle. There's a bunch of quality bullets out there. I'm not sponsored by anybody. That's what I use, and it's more efficient. It's a range bullet, it's
I was going to
cheaper.
say, if you're going to the range, you don't want something that you're going to use for any other purpose but the range. You don't want to spend top dollar on range rounds. You don't want
Yeah.
something that's going to gunk up your gun and cause it to jam either.
On top of your instructor, when you decide the weapon that you want, you don't want a gunked up gun because it is ineffective. It's a paperweight.
Say that again. You get went
If
through it is.
your instructor does not take the time to teach you how to properly clean your weapon, find another instructor. Cleaning the weapon is just as important as knowing how to properly use it in a safe fashion and acquiring and engaging a target.
Well,
Cleaning a
actually,
weapon is no different than owning a car.
yeah.
If you have to add water or oil, you do it. And if you don't do it, the car will break down.
I have to
If
say
you do
the
not know how
cleaning
to
weapon
clean your
falls under
weapon,
the category of safety. Because unless you ever
absolutely.
pulled the trigger and heard that thump, you have no idea. I mean, you don't want to hear that. But you know what I'm saying? It falls under the category of safety all day long. If you don't have a
But
clean weapon, you're looking at all kinds of problems down the road that you really don't want.
oh, absolutely. There's numerous malfunctions that unclean weapon. It
Right.
is a dirty weapon is an unsafe weapon, and it should not be used, period. If you choose to buy a weapon, ask questions, figure out the best weapon for the purpose that you're getting it for. Explore munitions, ask questions, get the right munitions for the environment that you're going to deploy that weapon in, and learn how to clean that weapon. Now, if anybody out there has any favorite weapons that they like to use for home defense, or if anybody out there has any tidbits of information that might have more training than myself, It doesn't even matter if it's less training than me. If you have an interesting perspective on this, I really do want to hear it because I'm here to learn just as well as I am to spread a little bit of the knowledge that I do have.
Most definitely, because I would love to think I know a lot. I'd like to think that. But since the more people I meet, the more I learn I don't know.
Yeah,
So,
I know a little bit about a lot of shit, and that's about the
yeah.
extent of my knowledge.
It's fun
You
to
know, I
think of everything for about 30 seconds. That's as far as that goes.
Now, another thing that I would talk about, back to pace. You got a primary, you got an alternate, you got a contingency, and then you got an emergency. These fallback positions, primary position,
Keep
defend your
going. I'll be right
home.
back. I'll be right back.
All
Keep
right.
going.
Now, an alternate position, everybody should use their brain. Sun Tzu even says the wise warrior will avoid the fight. Okay. If you are utilizing a weapon that has higher capacity to defend your home and you have multiple assailants come in your home, you are still at a disadvantage because there are multiple assailants. You're not going to know for sure if they're coming in the same entry point. You don't know all the breach points. But if it's one or two people coming in your home and you're using a high capacity magazine, you have an advantage. Now, when you're at the range and you're shooting targets, they do not shoot back. You might be able to hit the target 10 out of 10 times, 20 out of 20 times, 30 out of 30 times. When the target shoots back, your accuracy is going to fall off immensely. And for a lot of reasons, but a lot of times you got to take cover. So if it comes to a point that you have to go to an alternate location and you cannot preserve life anymore at your home, then you have to be able to bug out of that home. So you need to have some type of a go bag. Now, I can get into a million different scenarios and situations, but it would be impossible for me to cover each of them and provide adequate information on any of them if I did that. So let's just say you had to bug out and you had to bug out for up to 72 hours. Your home is being overrun. You cannot protect the lives of you or the people in your home. Forget about your property. Your property doesn't matter. If you have to grab a bug out bag, it should be set for 72 hours. Because if you can come back home in 72 hours a period, if you aren't able to defend it and you flee, your home will probably be cleaned out by the end of that 72 hours. So chances are it will be of no use to anybody trying to break in it later, and you might be able to come home again. But
Correct.
bug out bags,
This
do some
is.
research. I could definitely go through a whole bunch of, I could list a bunch of things to go into a 72-hour pack. That would be like an assault pack for me. That would be something that I could go, something that's very light. I still
Camping gear.
remain quick and agile. Emergency shelter, some type of weather protection, like from rain or cold, layers. You obviously, depending on how many people you have, you could go 3 days without water, but you don't want to go one
You don't
without
want to do
water.
that.
You
Look at
can go
this.
3 weeks without food, but you don't want to.
This right here.
Yes.
This is a bug out bag. And
Yes.
it looks quite large, actually, if you expand it all the way. It
How
looks
many liters
large.
is that?
This one's 45. Now,
45 liters.
you can carry more than enough for 3 days in this bag. And you can actually attach extra external stuff. But if you
Yep, you
look at
got the Molly system on it.
that's correct. For anybody interested, and I'm spreading this apart because I don't have it filled up right now. However, this is probably more than enough for a typical 3 day bug out. And
Absolutely.
quite frankly, I think this is probably a little larger than what I would need. I actually have this one for Laura to carry in case she needs to carry something. Because that 70 liter that you sent me, that's entirely too much for her. And I know that I would put quite a bit in it. But just for the sake of people watching. This is about all
That
you
bag
need.
right there would be ideal for a get home bag, something to pack,
Yeah.
put into your dang, or even a little smaller than that.
And
High energy food if you're away and you're just trying to get home.
that's
Wind
right.
protection, rain protection. Yeah.
And
I mean,
I do have here, I'll make sure I got them the next time we bring something up. But I actually have a small medical bag. And when I say small, it is very small. Look, I don't know if you could see it very well on here, but this pouch right here is about the size of my medical bag. That's about it. Okay. And quite frankly, it has most everything you need in it. As far as gauze, it's got tape, self-adhesive tape. You got band-aids of different sizes, alcohol swabs, sting swabs, and I forget what they call them, Patrick. I guess it's just a sting wipe, or you know which one I'm talking about. It's not for
your anti-itch cream for or a wipe for if you get a
if you get a bee
sting
sting
or
or bites or
right.
whatever. Yeah, and that's what that comes with that. Now, I also have a sewing kit that I have separate, but it fits in my medical bag. And all of that will fit in that one pocket I just showed you. So don't do like I did and get carried away with how much stuff do I have to have and what all do I need to carry, anything like that. And look, this right here, for your bug out bag, you need it. Don't go without it.
Absolutely.
You
A
gotta have
fishing
it.
kit.
That's exactly right.
And that would be if you have to prepare for more than 72 hours. A standard
Absolutely.
bug out bag, you figure 72 hours, you're probably good. Once again, anybody disagrees with me, share your thoughts and feelings on that. Everybody's different.
Well, I
Everybody's
would like.
environment is different. Some people are urban. Some people do not have a secondary place that they can go.
I would
You
just be
know,
interested in knowing what other people might have to deal with and what they think, what they feel is best for them to carry. And yeah, because quite frankly, even though we may live in different hemispheres, somebody else may have their bag set up for an emergency situation and have something in that bag that would probably be beneficial. I would like to
oh,
hear it though.
absolutely.
I think it would be good to hear it because we're not local. We talk to people everywhere. But all in all, and that video that I watched that you sent me, I don't think that guy would disagree. This is all you need for 72 hours.
You're probably right.
The bag he was carrying wasn't this big.
Yeah, I personally am going to look for a little bit more space. I mean, everybody's got their own preference. And mind you, I'm used to, in the day I was in, I carried Alice pack. So that was a large bag and external frame that's not
And you
needed
carry
for a.
communications equipment and everything else.
Yeah,
So,
that bag's definitely overkill for a 72-hour bug out. That would be
sure.
very much overkill. But,
And this, you need some of these.
oh, yeah, just. Ask around. We're trying to do things to aid people in being prepared. We're not trying to set the standard. Everyone is different and unique. Everybody's physical ability is different. Everybody's needs and requirements are different.
And if you
So,
talk to anybody that does survival training or evasion training, they'll tell you the same thing. Everybody's situation is going to be unique to them and that situation.
their environment.
That's right. So nothing here is set in stone. These are ideas. And again, we want to hear yours too, because your ideas may benefit us in ways we didn't consider.
Absolutely. Man, I hate to do this, man. I really do. I'm gonna have to hit this damn shoulder up here. But yeah, it's people need to start, and I don't mean to say need to. I do
It would
mean
be
it, and I
nice if
don't
people
mean it.
did.
Look at it like a game. Start paying attention to things. And like the self, when you talk about things like situational awareness, we've talked about this on a previous episode.
Right.
Everybody goes to convenience stores. Convenience stores get robbed regular. You go into a convenience store, take note of everybody in there. Take note of the possible exits. Take note of whatever you can take note of in there. Just in case something negative happens outside of your control, to where you can preserve your life. That is your goal, life preservation. no matter who you are, where you are, it doesn't just have to be at home. So always keep your eyes open for things that look funny or out of place, or if you get a feeling in your gut that something is not right, you know what? Something is
Something
probably
is
not
not
right.
right.
I'm gonna also go back a little bit on self-defense, site defense.
All right.
I don't, like I said, don't matter if it's a house or an apartment. Never arm your assailants. So if you have things outside that are like shovels or pickaxes, axes, anything, if you have any tools that are outside that can be utilized as a weapon against you or a way to bust in windows or doors, keep that stuff policed. Pick it up, store it in a proper location so that out of sight, out of mind is a big factor. If somebody's going to break into your house, they're probably not going to go just digging through a storage shed. I'm not saying they won't. If they can't get in and they see a storage shed, of course, they're probably going to see what kind of tools they can find to breach your perimeter. But
But then again, if it's a locked storage shed, that'll give you a heads up that somebody's out. Yeah.
absolutely. So don't leave things out that can be utilized as weapons against you. That's part of just perimeter security. It would never behoove you to leave weaponry in the hands of whoever it is that's coming to get you. It's just not a good idea.
I think that goes back to making sure you know where everything is, policing the perimeter, policing your quarters, however you want to put it. Yeah, you don't want to leave things lying around. Look, I think you and I both know pretty well that anything that moves can be a weapon. If you can pick it up, it can be
Absolutely.
a weapon. So try to minimize what anybody who wants to cause you harm can get their hands on.
Yeah, it's of the utmost importance. I would like to see what the stats are of the number of people that have assaulted homeowners with their own stuff. I wonder what the number
Well,
of
I can
that
tell you
is.
what the stats are of Paul Pelosi being invaded by a man in underwear and a hammer. That's it for today,
Underwear,
man.
but
Thank you for listening,
I don't know what
everybody.
the other
If
guy
you
will
have
do.
any insight to share,
But
we want to hear from you. Just send us an email to podteam@theconstitutioncommandos.org. And don't forget.
so that out of sight, out of mind is a big factor. If somebody's going to break into your house, they're probably not going to go just digging through a storage shed. I'm not saying they won't. If they can't get in and they see a storage shed, of course, they're probably going to see what kind of tools they can find to breach your perimeter. But
But then again, if it's a locked storage shed, that'll give you a heads up that somebody's out. Yeah.
absolutely. So don't leave things out that can be utilized as weapons against you. That's part of just perimeter security. It would never behoove you to leave weaponry in the hands of whoever it is that's coming to get you. It's just not a good idea.
Well, I think that goes back to, making sure you know where everything is, policing the perimeter, policing your quarters, however you want to put it. Yeah, you don't want to leave things lying around. I mean, look, I think you and I both know pretty well that anything that moves can be a weapon. If you can pick it up, it can be
Absolutely.
a weapon. So try to minimize what anybody who wants to cause you harm can get their hands on.
Yeah, it's of the utmost importance. I mean, I would like to see what the stats are of the number of people that have assaulted homeowners with their own stuff. I mean, I wonder what the number
Well,
of
I can
that
tell you
is.
what the stats are of Paul Pelosi being invaded by a man in underwear and a hammer.
Yeah, well, actually,
All
Paul
right,
was
well,
in
that's it for today,
underwear,
man.
but
Thank you for listening,
I don't know what the
everybody.
other
If
guy
you
will
have
do.
any insight to share,
But
we want to hear from you. Just send us an email to podteam@theconstitutioncommandos.org. And don't forget, rate us on podchaster.com. Leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. It only takes a moment. And it helps us out tremendously. Until next time, and on behalf of my brother and myself, we're the Constitution Commandos, and we're signing.